This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage. Time and date, terminal and gate. We wanna send you off in style. We wanna welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
We are driving due east on Hollywood Boulevard, away from the urine. Is that how you pronounce it?
Urine.
Urine. Mm-hmm. Away from the smell of urine and towards Little Armenia, the place where no one pees. Little Armenia, sponsor of Do You Need a Ride?
Little Armenia. Hey, when you want to get away from that big, huge Armenia and get personal, come on over to Little Armenia.
Just because it's littler doesn't mean the dreams aren't big. Little Armenia.
Little Armenia, where the eyebrows sure aren't little.
A kiss of racism from Karen right out of the gates as she rounds the corner.
It's the urine smell that brings it out of me.
Yeah, I know. God, it's hard to be one love jaw rule when that pee is wafting.
And when it's kind of nerdy to be one love jaw rule.
It is a little bit. Rasta.
Rasta.
Bro, po, po.
People really liked our Michelle Balloon episode.
Oh, really?
We got a lot of feedback about it.
Oh, that's... And thank you for Michelle Balloon on the last episode. Today... we have a very funny guest that we're about to pick up at her dwelling, Lizzie Cooperman.
One of my favorites.
She is one of my favorites.
I mean, we say that.
Yeah.
But to the individual person, it applies in a different way.
It seems
time.
Like there are police up ahead. There is a roadblock.
Oh, it looks like there's urine everywhere on the street.
Or blood, considering there's a guy laying down.
No.
So let's not let it affect us. We're in a huge city.
Did you see a laying down guy?
Karen, people die every day.
Okay.
And what happens almost as often as they lay down while peeing. Let's hope it's the latter. Or let's hope it's just someone that fell off a ladder.
That's the kind of thing, if you tried hard enough, you could convince me that that's a thing men like to do, is lay down while they pee.
You know what? There's been times, and I'm not kidding, where it is the middle of the day. But, you know, I'm 40. Every once in a while, I have that urgency only reserved for a commercial hosted by Wilford Brimley, where I must go. When you go, you gotta go.
Right.
And you gotta have your diabetes oatmeal. And I have gotten out of my car and laid on the edge of a curb and peed while laying there, pretending I was checking under my car.
Wow, that's so creative. Like, no one would question that.
No. Unless they get close and say, hey, can I help you with this? Is that a penis? that's the only time.
And the whole time are you like, this tire pressure is insane.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, damn galvanator valve. I knew it was oscillating.
I stripped the threads and everything.
Yeah, but no, that's when I'm actually talking about my penis.
Oh.
I have a screw top. On top.
Well, be careful with it. You don't want those threads stripped.
No. The last thing you want is your penis dip loose. Oh,
oh,
come on.
How come?
Come on, my own brain.
Ugh. Now, if I drive down this street, do you think it's going to be Murder Central? This is the street, right?
If we go all the way... No, I think we passed the Bondies, which they've obviously let hit the floor.
Do you know the number that you could give me in some kind of a semaphore signal?
Yes, I will simply look at my phone. Maybe if we slow to a cautious speed, I will let you know quickly on this unnamed street that the numeric value is... It is...
Are you going to show it to me? So we don't... So we're danger-free.
It was a famous year of a war.
Yes. Oh.
Right, isn't that curious
how
we stopped?
Crazy.
That's a lot how that war started. They just ended up there and people started getting bayoneted.
You've given it away.
That it was the War of 1812? well, too bad that we didn't mention the street.
That's right.
That's
good
right.
Luck
Ooh, good luck. If you
want to
stalk Lizzie,
County.
I'm going to tell her we're here.
Okay.
And I did that.
Great.
And she will reply, and then hilarity will ensue, especially when she's talking. There's a time where Lizzie was so funny, and it's you can't even hear her voice. We did a music video for this band, Lace Curtains.
Yeah.
Which is exciting as a alternative comic. You feel like a David Cross in a A.C. Newman video.
Sure.
So we were comics. I was playing a prop comic, and Lizzie was playing a physical a Jim Carrey type comic. And so even though the audio was just the song, it was the visual was us performing, and she was over the top. The stuff that was coming out of her mouth was just random gibberish, and she would act it out like, why are you choking me? Because the hands of God are the holy minister. Let's go to church and not get choked. Blah, blah, blah. And she was like, that is kind of what... And if I was laughing so hard watching her do stand-up that made no sense. And
the
then
best.
And then
but
also
She brought her keyboard.
She brought a kneeboard.
And there's a kneeboard in that bag.
She did say, and I didn't run it by you, Karen, will there be room in the trunk for her keyboard?
Yes.
Yes?
I don't know about that kneeboard, though.
If you... Do you want me to hold your mic?
Yeah.
And maybe
would you?
I will. And I will talk to myself as you help. Hey, Lizzie. We are getting Lizzie's equipment in the car. Sometimes she uses a keyboard, and when she does, everyone loves it, including me. They are, you can hear the sounds of the, if I adjust, that is the sounds of the loading taking place. And I'm very excited for her to get in the car. It's funny when you are by yourself, the sound of your own voice is maddening. So I can't wait for them to get in before I go crazy from the sound of my own voice.
How's it going?
Karen is back in. And put that on your lapel, if you don't mind me.
Right there.
Making people think you're wearing a men's tuxedo shirt. Lizzie Cooperman!
Lizzie Cooperman!
Lizzie Cooperman is in the car. There's a microphone. Oh, it's between your legs. You obviously already know about it.
She knows how to work.
It is.
Oh, great.
You sound terrific.
Oh, thank you.
Lizzie Cooperman, ladies and gentlemen.
Lizzie Cooperman.
Lizzie Cooperman, ladies and gentlemen.
Before you got in the car, Lizzie, I was describing the music video you and I both starred in.
Oh, that's right.
And how you were making me laugh, even without your words making sense, which is... you can't say that for most comics.
Likewise. I felt like you knew... I felt like your character was inside of you and before we did that and you didn't even know it.
You know, I would agree with that. I make jokes about prop comics, as do most comics, but once you're holding a Barbie doll with a knife through it, you don't know that comedy's about to happen. And then, then you pull something else out called Michael Jackson's bicycle.
Where's this mysterious board nurse?
It is a place that you've probably been before.
Oh, really?
And in the back is a stage that is beautiful, and there's a fountain. And I was already greeted by security there when I parked my car nearby. Up ahead, try not to look at the...
Murders.
Oh, there's murders ahead. We just will avoid them. It's never a good sign when they pull out six flares. But we're about to have a great concert in the back of a...
Now, whose show is this that you guys are doing?
It is called The Master Cleanse.
Jason Cox and Glenn Frazier, I believe.
Cox and Frazier.
Cox and Frazier, the great team from Arizona, am I right?
And a hell of a mid-80s boxing match, if I'm wrong.
The Cox and Frazier fight?
Yes.
When Frazier just dropped Cox?
Oh, he dropped Cox like it was a bag of warm bread.
Lizzie.
Hello.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I met you there.
Yes, I did meet you there.
Yeah.
That was so... Yeah.
We were kids.
We were children.
That's the sound of my phone dropping and maybe breaking.
Kids doing comedy together? Or?
Yeah, I think we met at Acme.
We did meet at Acme, a club that I find trouble getting work at. How about you?
I have not gone back there since I'm like, I left and I never turned back. But kind of. I haven't been back to Acme at all. I ran into Lewis Lee once.
And... How's your interaction with him? Do you feel like it's on the tip of his tongue to say, why don't you come back to the club?
No.
Me either.
It was a long time ago, though. And I feel like he's kind of a strong, silent type.
He carries a big stick.
He told me that he weeps for both of you every night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember he was always very nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just conclude that topic with that.
Good idea.
Lewis Lee is nice.
Bordner's. It's called Bordner's by Bella.
Yes.
What? Did someone buy Bordner's?
Or is it La Poubelle?
Bordner's. I feel like it's like two...
La Poubelle is the restaurant that's by the UCB.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But it said Bordner's trademark by another place.
I just feel like Bordner's has, like, such a hard sound to it. It's like Bordner's.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like a dog who, like, lived too long. Or, like, a very, like, Bordner. We've had Bordner longer than we've had Grandma.
Bordner's sure is starting to smell.
Yeah, Bordner.
Well, he's 78.
Bella, I don't know.
Bella's the puppy we got that we're going to replace Bordner with when he hopefully dies.
I remember as a boy when I first went goose hunting with Bordner. He was so filled with energy, bounding Bordner. Energy.
That was the 1800s.
Yes. Back, it was the year I was the boy in the Where the Red Fern Grows.
This is such a luxury being in someone else's car.
Isn't it nice?
In your car. And, you know, yeah.
You're being chauffeured, essentially.
I am. I feel like Jessica Tandy right now. Do you guys mind if I put in some earphones? I was going to get an Uber today. I was like, maybe I'll just Uber to where I'm going. And then I had that kind of like guilt, like, what if I'm sitting in the back and I need my time? Like, I was having boundary issues with the idea of getting into the...
Of an Uber?
Yeah. Oh, really? Do you not take Ubers often?
I do, but sometimes I get stressed over the relationship.
And there will be a relationship. It will be forced upon you.
And it will involve cologne.
And sometimes you tap it and it goes to the wrong location accidentally. And then when the person picks you up, they're like, I was waiting for 30 minutes at 1232 Hobart or whatever.
And you're like, baby. Forgive me.
Yeah. This is no way to start our relationship. It's out of anger. So, how long have you been doing comedy and then also driving an Uber? It seems like every Uber driver is a comic I haven't met.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That's what they say. Every Uber driver is just a comic you haven't met yet.
What do you do? Hesitantly, I'll say, oh, I'm a comic. And they usually go, oh, me too.
Well, I never say I'm a comic when someone asks me what I do. Third grade teacher. No one wants to hear about it. The conversation is over.
I say magazine illustrator. What do you say, Lizzie?
I'm pretty honest about it. Yeah.
Lizzie.
I don't know. I feel like it's the only thing I have to hold on to. Like, I don't have anything else.
And so you're just ready for the conversation that comes after that of what kind do you do?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, yes. I don't like that conversation.
When they say, let me hear a joke, do you do your entire frog on a lily pad bit?
Oh, my God. I'm like, do you have 12 minutes and 34 seconds?
Do you ever do go morongo in the back of an Uber? That's when I first met Lizzie, was when I very first started doing stand-up again, which was very upsetting to me and my hot house flower demeanor.
Uh-huh.
And it was out at Highways, remember, in Santa Monica?
highways. Oh, yes.
I knew no one there. I knew the guy that invited me to do the show asked me on Facebook. So I knew absolutely no one or nothing about the show.
Yes.
And Lizzie was like an example of a young girl in comedy who's having a great time, where I was like, oh, I remember this. Like, it was it was really funny. But no, you were like, so
please
nice.
Tell me I was having a great time.
You were. And there was another girl that you knew there that you were friends with, and the two of you were super nice and really, like, conversational and stuff. But then when I watched you do your set, it just killed me. You were killing me so horribly
God.
Because you were singing Go Go Morongo and yelling at people about different stuff. It was really great.
Thank you so much.
Sounds like really, was Lizzie was really shoving it in your face, huh?
She was quite the showboater back then.
How did you guys come up with this idea for the show?
I believe Karen thought of it.
Well, we had a bunch of different ideas. We just knew we wanted to do a podcast together, and we were just trying to figure out, we just kept talking about what we didn't like about podcasts, like how to make it something that was different or that would be interesting. And we were driving around somewhere, and I can't remember. It was a several step process.
Did you ever see 6 Degrees of Separation?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We were thinking of all the reasons we couldn't make a film out of the musical Cats, and that's when we realized we could.
And then we went ahead and ignored all those reasons. And the only thing different from a normal podcast is we're in a vehicle, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that we riff well together.
Well, and I think people do like when comedians talk about doing comedy. I think people like that. A certain type of person likes that. So
the type of person listening. Thank you for being that person. Hi. Hey. How are you out there?
Hi.
Hi, guys.
We were going to do a drive time morning radio podcast. That would have taken a lot of work.
I remember you getting super excited about that and, like, me getting excited conceptually, but then immediately thinking of
all the
work. Sitting in front of an old-fashioned Stephen J. Cannell typewriter having to type all day, and I was like, this sucks.
And ripping out the paper and going with your mouth, bam, 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 as it slowly settles to the... Know what I'm talking about?
Good night, Mr. Burrs.
Good dog, Ubu. Sit. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All of them.
You're welcome.
So, Karen, we watched I almost said the Super Bowl together. We watched the Oscars
we
together.
We did, yes.
Which is the Super Bowl of acting.
The Super Bowl of acting. And I remember we were really upset by the backdrop, like the set. We were like, this is the worst set. It looks like a bunch of broken can openers. And we were feeling it so passionately that night.
Yeah.
Chris, don't know if you remember the set.
Well, yes, because it was like, it started off with they always have the Swarovski crystal shit. But then it was like they tripled down and put... Wasn't it hanging Oscars all in all different directions?
It was just like too many ideas. It looked like a junk drawer.
Yeah, it was crazy.
The next day I went into work. I'm like, guys, we have to do something about the set. And no one else noticed. So I was like,
shoot.
That night it seemed like it was the only thing that people would be talking about.
Yeah, it was so obnoxious. I liked when, I can't remember if it was you or Georgia, when the woman, they won the Oscar for documentary about suicide, and then the woman who was accepting said, it's time to start the dialogue about suicide.
Oh.
Was that you?
She goes, right now. I think maybe it was Georgia.
Oh, it was Georgia. She goes, right now.
Right now.
We were laughing.
It's never a bad time to talk about suicide. Sure.
And it's never a bad time to recap jokes you told at an Oscar party.
Right, that's what I meant to say.
But we did have a good time.
Am I not cool? I don't think I've been invited to an Oscar party. Do you guys, and be honest, does it seem like I'm someone that just doesn't keep up with movies?
Well, you do seem like a skateboarder.
Yeah, I am a kind of skatey. Ooh, I wonder who's doing the handrail here at Hollywood High.
See that? You're always talking about that.
Yeah.
Have you done the handrail here?
No, I mean, look at it. It's 20 stairs long. Kids... just leap onto that handrail and slide down.
Ooh. Would you do that? Would someone do that on a skateboard?
Oh, many kids can do that now.
No, that's too long.
There was a time, the time when I would think about doing that and probably would not have, unless it was maybe a standard board. No, it's too long and scary.
It's so long.
And, there's kids that just do it willy-nilly.
Wow.
I mean...
Are they the ones that don't really have parents? Is that why skateboard... kids get good at skateboarding.
I am so offended.
Really?
No. Uh-huh. I mean, you have to have someone that says, hey, it's okay if you wander around the streets whenever, long, often enough to where you get good at it. Yes, you're right. There is a direct link to latchkey parenting.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Being good at skateboarding.
Just a little, maybe it's like it's a working single mom who's doing her best, but she just can't be there.
Hey, you just described Lynn Fairbanks, my mother.
She tried.
She did. She tried.
Her parents impressed. Was she impressed by skateboarding? Or was she like?
I like that she was, and she would watch me in front of the house. And then when I would get arrested or get a ticket, she worked at City Hall, and she would go and yell at the cops.
Nice.
And she said, "Well, build a skate park."
Oh.
And my mom was one of the first motherly voices saying, "Build these kids a skate park," which I always appreciate.
And did they?
They did eventually. They did eventually, but that was by then I was already arthritic, and I was just behind the scenes helping with fundraising and clerical work.
Now, Lizzie, when you were a teen, how did you rebel?
Scotch Guard. I did. I inhaled Scotch Guard. And I grew up like by a lake, and my friends and I would go in the cabinet and take whatever said "do not inhale," and then we would spray it on a sock.
No.
Yeah, and then go out on the lake. We always brought like shampoo. We were like, "Let's get high and wash our hair."
You would huff Scotch Guard and wash your hair.
Uh-huh. Yeah, on the lake. In Minnesota. I did that.
Did anyone get brain damage from that?
I mean, that's why it feels good. It's your brain being damaged.
Yeah. Everybody came through okay?
Yeah.
I think you came out okay, Lizzie.
Yeah, I think I did.
Whose idea was it?
It is funny that you've... my friend Michelle. I had a friend named Michelle who was kind of like the ringleader.
Yeah, nice.
But
here's to Michelle and all the Michelles out there.
What's the Scotch Guard high?
I kind of like rebelled out of... What?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's very... I only said two things when I did it. I'd be like, "I can't even see it but red. I can't even see it but red." Or I'd say, "Everything is rewinding. Everything is rewinding."
Wow.
So I didn't do it all the time. I feel like I'm exaggerating. But even just doing... It's something that... Even just the metaphor of it, like if you do it a couple times, it feels like you were really like involved.
I bet.
So it's not the
most. For me, someone who was always like, "No, I can't run for president." That was like always the threat. My sister used to always say that.
I would be worried that the threat is, along with making them kind of waterproof, coating your lungs with, because the Scotch Guard just. It waterproofs shoes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What is it doing to your lungs?
What? I never,
I'm too paranoid to just grab whatever says
I'm
do not
so
inhale.
I'm paranoid now. I used to not be that way.
Well, because you're young and you kind of think, if it's Michelle's idea, everything's cool.
Yeah, I'm watching them do it. I think I was the last also to join in on that.
I always was. I would not succumb to peer pressure until the last minute, and then I would go farther than anyone did with it. On the right here is where I parked my car. If you don't mind, I want to look at that sign. It says Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 p.m. You can't be there, but it's Sunday,
Sunday.
I can be there. Okay, I'm not worried about it anymore.
You shouldn't be. The rules are off on Sunday.
Unless you're talking about the eyes of God. The rules are on. Lizzie, you're very Christian, aren't you?
No.
No, I didn't think so. I asked the opposite of a question.
You like to ask no questions.
Yes.
Yes.
Were you ever?
Did what?
Did you ever go to church?
No, I'm Jewish, so my family went to...
But there's churches.
Yes, we went to a synagogue. I actually did go to church. I went with a friend. I was interested in the Mormon religion. I had a Mormon friend, and I went with her a couple times at like 5 a.m.
Ooh.
To their...
Did you go because...
It was called seminary?
It's... Oh, yeah. That I think you're right about that. Did you go because it seemed like all your Mormon friends were happy and had big, happy families?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't understand it. They were nice, but they were like, "This is Lizzie. She's Jewish."
Ooh.
It was like a very friendly Minnesota, but yeah.
And then what did they do when they...
We had a lot of Mormon people at my high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? In Minneapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, indeed, we did.
After you announce your... Because I've told this story before, but I was welcomed into a Mormon household, and then I used the Lord's name in vain, and I had to leave, and they had trampolines and trapeze and ropes, and then I was so excited to play on them, and then I said, Jesus Christ, when a kid was swinging on a rope, and they asked, and they... I either had to sit or I had to leave. Is that what happened when you announced you were Jewish? No. Well, good.
It's about
they
boundaries.
They asked you to leave. One time, someone asked me to leave their house for saying the F word.
Really?
When I dropped a maraca.
Oh.
I used to swear. My dad swore a lot, so I just picked up his language.
You dropped a maraca?
How old were you when you said the F word?
I dropped a maraca, and I was like, I think I was like... 6 or 7.
Did, yes. Oh, I was hoping you dropped it because you just wanted to leave in it with a musical punch.
Anyway, it was like, that's so not an aggressive F word. If it's me punishing myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was really just mad at myself. I wasn't like, your cheap maraca.
Oh, you dropped them. You so, said fuck because you dropped the maraca.
I dropped it and it broke.
Oh,
I thought I wanted you to say fuck and then fling a maraca across the room. And they get upset and it's like, hey, don't try and...
Don't bring your Latina shit up in here.
Yeah. Take your penciled in eyebrows elsewhere.
For some reason that makes me think of the one time that really stands out when I got in trouble as like a 7-year-old. I was sitting... We were watching like a horse training or something at the county fair, which we used to go to.
It's fun to watch them do that.
Up again?
In Northern California. And we were in 4-H, so we would go and stay at the fair for the week and show sheep and do shit.
What did you show the sheep?
You were actually in 4-H. I always felt like that was just like an imaginary, like something in books.
No, it's real. It's super real. It's real country. You would take your sheep that you raised and you'd bring them into a ring, and then the farmers would come in and they would auction off the sheep. And, you know, if you raised it well, you got first place.
You raised... How hands-on
Otherwise,
were you
they
with
would
the...
shame you. Public.
Yeah, that's
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. Sheep
totally
shaming.
Hands-on. I had to get up every morning and run it and feed it and water them and do it after school. And we were, like, free... manual labor at my aunt and uncle's ranch, which was next door to our house. So we'd go there every day after school and then just do stuff.
I did not know.
So you had access to all those animals?
Yes. Yeah. And that's why I don't care about animals that much, because like when people get so crazy about like animal rights or like burst into tears, mm-hmm. it's so funny to me because I grew up with like people being like, hey, should I go out and shoot some of those cats? That was like a constant conversation at my aunt's house.
I think.
Who's going to shoot those cats?
Oh my God.
What were the cats doing? And there's just too many of them.
Yeah, they would just end up being 25 cats all of a sudden. And so they'd have to get rid of some. It was pretty dark, but.
That is the darkest. I love cats, Karen.
No, I do too. But like, I guess when I was growing up, it just wasn't, nothing was very romanticized. It was like, you were raising sheep, but you were raising them to eat them. You were raising cows, but, you know.
When I saw the show Hoarders for the first time, as I watched that show, I found myself liking cats less. But just because they were portrayed in such a garbagey, like, way. And I was like, it's not the cat's fault, but maybe something in me identified with the, like, poorly...
You were holding it against the cats.
Yeah, it was like I saw myself in the cat and therefore despised.
Because why the cats get into like the crap and like burrow in there and live in there?
Or they just kind of are coming out of nowhere with like crust on their faces and like
yeah.
You just don't know. It's kind of like they're crawling out of the unknown a little bit.
And I love cats and I defend them all the time. Yeah. But when I got the bit of news about their urine being like a addictive chemical to cat owners,
really?
It's
Yeah, it's like it's bad for you, but it's also, there's something about it your body gets. That's why people become crazy cat ladies or crazy cat men. It's they, whether they know it or not, are addicted to the urea.
Oh, wow.
Someone could look that up. But I've dropped some facts about cat urine in the past. One of them being when it hurts for them to pee, it's because they have some kind of a pain, and so they pee throughout the house. That I know. When a cat's like, why'd you pee on my bed? They'll be like, because my little weird red cat dick hurts. But if you, you know, if they do it enough, turns out you you start to like it on
that
a on
is
a.
So interesting.
It's disgusting.
It's really upsetting to me.
I'm sorry.
It's gross.
As if people need another reason to not like cats more.
Yeah, you're the one spreading it.
I know. Well, it's part of my weird platform. I want people to like cats more, but first I'm going to horrify you with little facts.
Did you ever have a cat, Lizzie?
Yeah, I had a cat growing up. He was an actor. His name was Tabitha, and he was, like, in a play with my sister.
A boy cat named Tabitha.
Yeah.
Carry on.
His name was Tabitha in the play.
Uh-huh.
So we kept, and I guess he was biting people, so my sister brought him home, and he was our cat.
During the performance, or just, like, in the green room and stuff?
Like, the actor. Like, yeah. He just wasn't like the actor they had hoped he would be. It's like, I don't know how the new cat, I don't know how they got him to like sit on the desk while Beatrix Potter summons all the other animals. Whatever.
And what was this a production of? Please say
Beatrix Potter's Christmas.
Oh, okay. So, which is a play already?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I didn't.
Yeah, so my sister.
You said, please say cats. Like, they would. It's all humans dressed up as cats. And then the one real cat they hired, they took a chance.
That's so true. They were all the. Everyone else was dressed as an animal.
One of the places one of my cats was euthanized in Missoula was a place called Cats on Broadway.
And, no.
Yeah, and it had there was like piano keys and cameras and like famous cats come here to, you know, have a finger put in them for testing or maybe put down. But that's famous as they can get is to be at Cats on Broadway.
Horrible.
It is horrible.
Cats.
Because, like, most people are at the vet, something bad has happened to their cat.
Right.
So they don't want, you don't necessarily want a theme while you're there.
It's just, I think it was a theme for the sign. It's like cat, they aren't going to be wearing top hats and there won't be piano playing. But the sign did suggest that you bring them in and they just put a top hat on your cat, which, I mean, if we all stop and think about our favorite cat growing up wearing a top hat, I think it makes us all happy.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't deny that.
So you didn't have pets even though you worked on the farm?
Oh, no. We had, like, we did have dogs and cats and stuff. But we just weren't, like, I don't know. Farm people are very, it's almost like they're employees as well. Mm. Like, you have to do your part. You can't just hang out as a cat and get free food. That won't fly.
No.
Your cat. Not with farm people.
No. Cats have to pull, just like anyone on a ranch, you got to do your portion of the work. And even if that's to empty a saucer.
Are you a fan of the movie Babe?
I love that movie.
I do like.
Me too.
Wait, Babe, A Pig in the City, or just the original?
Okay. I wasn't as thrilled with Pig in the City.
That was crazy.
It was, with that rundown hotel and the.
Talk about dark. That was a dark movie.
That was.
Yeah, a pig has no reason to be in the city, and it's only dangerous.
Yeah. Its little hooves on the sidewalk.
Now, was Babe one of those, I can't remember right now, if they computer animated his mouth and lips when he talked, or if they just put some peanut butter in there and had him chew away.
Oh, no, it wasn't like the.
I like
Mr.
that you know the trick of how to get a pig to look like it's talking.
Yeah, yeah.
Did they do the old peanut butter on the?
Well, there was a point in dog and cat food commercials where, you know, you would, that is what they did. The dog would be like, I want some kibbles and bits, but his tongue is, he's obviously licking the inside of his mouth because some, you know, first AD put some peanut butter in there. And then after a while, they just started computer animating the lips, and something was lost, I felt. This is bad.
Yeah.
Move out of the way. God, every BMW driver has to be the same, don't they?
Lizzie, do you know what your set is going to be tonight?
Yes.
I actually thought about it a little bit. There's a joke. I keep doing this where I'll have a show, and I'll be like, I have to do that one joke, and I don't do it.
Why do you think you don't do it?
It's just not there in my brain yet.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't appear like it. There's nowhere for it to naturally go, so my brain just doesn't go there, even though I have it written down like right in front of me.
Do you want to say it out loud right now for our audience?
Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes, and okay. Do it like full bore, like as if you're on stage. Yeah.
Really? It's
yes.
pretty big.
It'll be...
be as big as you want.
Wait, I'm really overselling it. Guys, this is big.
This is going okay. to be amazing.
Okay, this is it. A lot of girls like to look good when they see their ex. I like to look like I just crawled out of a junkyard. Like, if it's, especially if he's with his friends, because then I can go, yeah, me and Tyler, we used to do it. We did it all the time. We did it everywhere. He couldn't keep his hands off of me. One time, we did it on the top of a stack of empty tuna fish cans. Isn't that right, Tyler? Wait, guys, it's going to be so much better. Please, delete.
I love that.
Yeah, we did it. We did it all the time. We did it everywhere. It's a physical bit.
I see.
I can only imagine the gesticulation.
Why don't I just do the rest of my set since I'm already at it?
Just keep it going.
No. Got it.
Strike it
in post.
It started right where you ended with your fear of cats that live in a hoarder house.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
On top. Yeah.
And it turns out you're a cat.
So let me do that.
Okay.
I also have a joke about horny goat weed. Are you familiar with that product?
I am.
What does it do?
It's an aphrodisiac that they sell at the grocery store.
Wait, it really?
And it's always in like a black packet with like neon green font.
Is that what the horny stands for?
Yeah.
I thought it was something else. I thought it was for kidney health or something.
Oh.
Gross. My mom took horny goat weed.
Hold on. Is it?
Are you thinking of St. John's wort?
No. Okay. That I thought was for warts.
Chris, you might be right, and I may have just always made that assumption.
I wonder if... No, I don't... I think you're right. The more I think about it, you know, when I've... on a night, I'm in a Walgreens, and I feel lonely, and I want to get a Extends pill or something. I think more often than not, it's ginseng and the goat of horny weed. The horny goat of weeds. The horny goat weed.
What?
I think so. You're right.
Are you performing tonight, Karen?
No. I'm just dropping off.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
What is the rest of your night going to look like?
My night? God, I hate to think of it.
What is in your Netflix queue right now?
Yeah, it's, well, I lost my ATM card last week, so now I can't get anything on Apple TV and the last time I tried to look, it wouldn't let me look at even, it wouldn't let me use Apple TV because it basically said my card doesn't work.
Oh, because you're waiting for a new card, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to. When I get the new card, I'm going to reprogram it.
I hate that financial purgatory.
They do not let you slide for one day. It's like they know the second they don't have that tap on your money. So
wow.
It seems like that Netflix is only in it for the money.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those businesses are.
Yes. It seems like the smarter ones.
The ones that work. So it'll probably be watching some whatever's on TV. Probably looking too much at Twitter.
Are you a Twin Peaks fan?
I did like it a lot. Not to watch again, though.
Okay.
I liked it, the experience I had the first time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've tried to watch it again a couple times and just got really... frustrated.
They're bringing that back, right?
No, I think they said they're not going to now because David Lynch wouldn't be attacked.
Right.
Oh,
right.
I went to a transcendental meditation workshop last week.
What is that? Talk about that.
David Lynch is a big supporter. Is the word proponent?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of transcendental meditation. It's basically, they talk about how they give you a mantra.
Uh-huh.
And then... you work with an instructor. It's kind of a traditional... there's something about it that they want you to work one-on-one with someone to make sure you're doing it correctly, and then supposedly you reach a state of pure consciousness.
Oh.
Is this a thing where you exit your body, sort of, or no?
No.
Okay, good. I don't like that.
You don't exit your body. I think you go deeper into your brain.
Oh, I don't even like that either. But...
yeah, there is something about... going into a part of your brain that you've never didn't know about previously. Mm-hmm.
That scares me. Yeah, I don't know why.
It's just reminds me of like swimming in the dark. Like, or Lex Luthor's pool.
But it's good. The limited amount of meditation that I've done, that idea that you are just trying to put a little bit of space between your thoughts. Like, yeah. That someone told me that should be the goal.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, just like, because you know how it's just constant this, like your brain is constantly serving you up a bunch of crap. If you can just get it quiet for 3 seconds in between thoughts, and then you're trying to make that space bigger. That's how I looked at it and like it. But, you know, might not be the same kind.
But Lizzie, do you have friends that do this ayahuasca thing where it's like, but it's a drug. You take a drug, but there's a shaman, which is the only reassuring thing about it, is there's someone there that is traditional and trained in going with you on some...
I didn't know that. I just thought it was like, the first time I heard about ayahuasca, I was like, what? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around.
Me either. Yeah, yeah.
Like, tree sap, and then, I don't know. I've very little experience with drugs.
Oh, you've never done...
Scotchgard is where you tap
out. Yeah, Scotchgard's where you tap out. Only household.
I like it.
In the house.
Keep it in the house. Domestic drugs, if you want.
Yeah.
Do you like transcendental meditation? Is that like a thing that you're doing these days?
I'm thinking about going, because you have to commit to it. Like, it's kind of expensive, and then you do 4 days. It has to be in a row of training. And I feel like I would like... to do something like that or learn French.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of in a place where I feel like I need.
Is it the summer of your senior year?
Enhance my existence. Yeah. It is the summer of my senior year. Do you speak any foreign languages, either of you?
No. Mm-mm. And I do mean no in Spanish.
I took French for 2 years in high school, so I can like. Kind of put a couple words together, but not in any real way.
You have to stick with it, in my experience, or it just disappears, because I took 2 years in college, which is more... I'm trumping your 2 years
in
high school.
You sure are.
Yeah, I really am. And it totally escaped me, unless you're around people and you have to, out of necessity.
If you're put in a situation where you needed to use it, you would probably remember.
You're
more
right.
Than you.
I was in Costa Rica for like 10 days, and it was a surf trip, and a floating log hurt my ankle almost immediately, and so I didn't have much to do. A log in a wave, not just a log floating, and I started kicking it or something. That would be crazy. A log came towards me, hit my foot, and I was like, well, I guess I'm just in Costa Rica during the rainy season. But the guys that watched over the house all year round where we stayed, they wanted to learn English, and they were just picking stuff up, like saying what it is in Spanish. And
I feel like this log story should
helped.
End in a really metaphorically beautiful way. What happened with the...
The log went on.
The log went on.
The log floated on, and so did I. And I think about that log every day. See, how's that?
How's that, Lizzie?
Is that, how's that?
I love
was
it.
That?
I love
it.
I could have done better.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
There's times
Did you toss a necklace around the neck of the log? Is it?
I lit a candle and
goodbye,
put it
brother.
And put it in a bag, and I floated it off with a log like a funeral from Karate Kid.
Karen, if someone said that in 15 minutes, you could choose to be flown to Fiji with only the stuff that you have in your car, and you'd stay for 3 days, all expenses paid, and then come back in 3 days. Would you do it?
Hell yes.
Yeah, me too.
Fiji is one of those places too where like I always see those pictures on like say a screensaver or something where it's the it's the cabins that are out over the water. There's like a long walking pier, and then there's like a little hut out over like bright blue water. That's usually Fiji, and I would love to go to that.
I would love to. I'll even amend it and say even if it wasn't all expenses paid, I'd go.
That would be such a good travel business to have it based on screensavers.
Yes, right? Do you want to go here?
Like, be like, well, what do you have on your screensaver? Which of these screensavers?
Oh no, the rainforest. I'm gonna get bitten by a spider.
I feel like I didn't give you a or for that hypothetical.
Oh, did
question.
I answer too quickly?
Oh, right. Or.
No, but I just realized, I was like, yeah, that was a pretty.
Or go fuck yourself.
It was like, that? Or you can only. but all you can eat when you're there is Chick-fil-A.
None of this is a problem. Okay. All of this is a dream vacation. What about you? Where's the one place you would... Because you actually weirdly chose my one, like, tropical destination that I would love to go to. What's yours?
And I'm like patting myself on the back. I'm like, and I never even think about Fiji.
Never once before have we discussed it, not even on Oscar night.
I think right now I would like to go to Greece. Mm.
I heard Greece is amazing.
I'm not sure where in Greece. I just...
Where all the white buildings
are. I feel like I need something kind of blue and spacious right now.
Did you ever see the movie Summer Lovers?
No.
It's from the 80s. You probably wouldn't have. It's the first dirty movie I ever saw with my cousin Nancy on, like, some late-night HBO. And the whole thing takes place in this beautiful little village right on the water in Greece. And it's Daryl Hannah and Peter Gallagher and then some French lady.
God, I love Daryl Hannah.
They end up having, like, a three-way. It's super, like, softcore, kind of dirty. And it might just tide you over.
Who does Daryl Hannah, Peter Gallagher, and his eyebrows? Who's the third?
A French lady that's never the
French
been seen
lady.
Again.
I forgot.
Daryl Hannah, I think also had a threesome in Clan of the Cave Bear, if I do remember correctly.
Clan of the Cave Bear.
That was like the first time I ever saw sex, and I was like, what are they doing to her?
Yeah, it was, if I'm not mistaken, that's one of the early movies where it's okay to watch, and there's rape in it.
Yes, because they're basically cave people.
Yes, it was a sign of the times, my dad said, when I cried and wanted it turned off. That's just how they did it back then, son. Keep your eyes open.
Honey,
what was the Kevin Costner movie?
Dances with Wolves.
Dances with Wolves, yeah. I remember expecting more of that in Dances with Wolves and not getting it.
Yeah, not...
not getting what you bargained for.
Why are these wolves not raping Kevin? They're just dancing. I don't think I've ever watched that yet. Here's a little known fact about me. Not a Costner fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I feel that when he acts, there's a dead look in his eye.
One of my favorite things my dad's ever said to me was, I love that Kevin Costner, but I sure don't believe it when he says anything in a movie. I was like...
Oh, that's great. That's perfect,
that's
actually.
That's acting, Dad.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, he is likable somehow.
Yeah.
But when he's talking, it's like, oh, I don't believe
he's
in
ambitious.
This.
Ambitious. Think about Waterworld.
Oh, yeah. He's like he a crazed on, money like, man big. That really believes he should be in the movie when he absolutely should not be.
I wish I were more like that. I don't even put myself like in a web. I'm like, oh, we'll cast someone who looks like.
No. Yeah, you got Costner it up a little bit.
Yeah, I could use some of that. Okay.
When I talked to the guy that is running the show, Lizzie, he said that you requested going up first. Is that correct?
No.
Oh. Well, I said, well, I have a feeling she won't be going up first.
Because you guys that's just 10 a feeling. Minutes fast.
Oh, that's 10 minutes fast. Yeah. Well, certainly, we're 4 minutes into our set. If she's going first, but you aren't going first.
Well, all I have to cut is that one junkyard joke.
Yeah, you'll be right up.
I'm
gonna say it until it's funny. We did it all the time. We did it everywhere.
I definitely think you should keep on a pile of empty tuna cans, please.
Okay. Yes, please.
Okay.
This you has paint been pictures. So lovely.
I know.
Lizzie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course.
It was such a wonderfully smooth ride.
Was it?
Isn't Karen a good driver?
Mm-hmm. A very calming.
Thank you.
It is a completely different podcast, Lizzie, when I'm driving.
Is it?
It's chaotic. Everyone's thoughts are disjointed because we're interrupted with me having outbursts and just everyone mutually feeling like we're going to die because I can't multitask, and Karen is very good at
Well, you know what it is,
driving
guys,
and talking.
If you want to know my secret.
Yeah? What is it? Please tell me. Maybe I can learn.
Well, here's the thing. In Los Angeles, you don't really have to pay attention when you're driving because everyone around you will drive for you. So you can just, you know what I mean? You don't have to, like, gas it to get to a red light. You're always coming up to a red light. Don't hit the gas unless you have a big, wide-open space in front of you.
So you just treat it like you're a fish floating with a school of fish
that is the most zen approach to driving.
It's just kind of glide around. Don't be in a hurry.
You make driving sound calming.
It's pretty great.
You don't even need to learn how to transcendentally meditate.
Yeah, I don't. I'm beyond all of it.
Well, transcendentally, that, I don't know, I tried to, incidentally, whatever, words are fun and it's fun to mess with them or ruin them.
You should have just gone with it. Try it again and this time believe, Costner style.
Well, transcendentally, that brings us to the end of this podcast, yes. Incidentally. Damn it, I ruined it again. Oh, nuts. We see the glowing lights of Bordner's right near Hollywood Boulevard, which I think tonight we're going to know why when the mayor of Hollywood taps Lizzie and I both on the shoulder after our sets and says, hey, guess what?
What?
You two are going to have mansions. And then walks away and we realize he's got leaves in his hair and no pants.
There's no mayor of Hollywood.
Where? I thought it was a funny that his business card was written in crayon.
Well, have a good... Oh, Lizzie, yeah. Plug. Do you have things to plug? Are there appearances you're making or things you're doing? I know you're a writer on The Soup, which people should know about you. We should have said that first.
I do the online stuff at The Soup. I'm doing Bridgetown with you, actually.
Yay!
And me.
And Chris.
You're doing it too.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Let's redo what we're doing right now, but up there in a different city. So it's like a new experience.
Yep.
Oh, God. I would love that.
Okay, good.
And then...
I thought she was going to say no.
I go, oh, God.
Oh, God.
No, actually, I feel like I just had a general moment of, oh, God. And then I tried to turn it into a sentence.
Well, that's the feeling that Portland in your future gives you.
Then I have an
general
Instagram.
Feeling of, oh, God.
What's your Instagram
it's
handle?
It's called AvantGram. It's AVANT_GRAM. And that? I make, like, little avant-garde movies.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going to click add right now.
I would love that.
Are they black and white?
They are not. I have not done a black and white one yet.
I need to watch them.
I would love that.
Are you going to watch them even though they're not black and white?
Well, I don't have Instagram, but I'm gonna do some work.
You should.
Suss around and see. Maybe we'll pull Georgia Hardstark in and she can hook me up.
She's in one of them, actually.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's great.
She looks like Louise Brooks.
She does.
So she should be in.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to look up who Louise Brooks is.
She's the first great Bob of our time.
Ah, yes.
Guys, this has been incredible.
It has been incredible. You go meet your friend for dinner. I'm going to go and do a comedy concert with Lizzie. And Lizzie, thanks for being on our program.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR!